The Wisconsin Supreme Court sided with Republican state lawmakers today, upholding laws that limit the governor's powers. Those laws were passed in December during the legislature's lame duck session and were challenged in court for being unconstitutional. They've got multiple court challenges. The justices voted 4-3 in support of the lame duck laws. The majority opinion written by conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley states, quote, the Wisconsin Constitution itself affords the legislature absolute discretion to determine the rules of its own proceedings, end quote. Sean Johnson joins us now. He's Capital Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
So we've talked about this before a lot. There's cases here. This is the one that didn't have anything to do with the merits of what the laws did, right?
This was the clean procedural challenge by the League of Women Voters. It said that everything that happened in the extraordinary session was unlawful because the Wisconsin Constitution does not let legislators meet in extraordinary session. So an extraordinary session is called by legislative leaders. The Wisconsin Constitution does not explicitly spell that out anywhere. It says you can have regular sessions, you can have special sessions, which are called by the governors, but didn't say anything about extraordinary session. That was their argument. The majority on the Supreme Court did not agree with that, and they dismissed this case.
All right. We're 6 months into this thing or so now. Sean, remind us of some of the key things that happen in this lame duck session.
I think a lot of the stuff that people have probably latched onto is that this lame duck session limited the powers of the incoming Democratic governor, Tony Evers, and the incoming Democratic attorney general, Josh Call. One thing we've talked a lot about is it prevented them from leaving the federal lawsuit against Obamacare, against the Affordable Care Act. They used this ruling, actually, in the window that it created when it initially struck these laws down to get out of that case. But that was one of the powers that they lost in that session. Also, the session prevented Evers from rescinding some Walker-era waivers on things like work requirements for food stamps, Medicaid. Those were powers that he would have had before the lame duck session. It took them away. And it limited his powers in a variety of other ways, some of them easier to explain than others.
Now, here's where it got kind of weird. As you mentioned, this went up through the court system, as things do, usually before they go to the state Supreme Court. Some judges agreed with the plaintiffs here, says, you're right, these laws never happened. And then we went back and forth between parts of that being waived, parts of it not. And under those waivers, the governor, as you were saying, used some of these powers that now, after the Supreme Court ruling, he doesn't have.
Yeah, think of it like a window, I guess. There was a window that was open briefly. It has now been shut by the state Supreme Court in this case. That doesn't mean that they're going to go back and undo things, that undo everything that happened while that window was open. But because of this ruling today, most of the laws that were passed in the lame duck session, most but not all, have been upheld.
Now, we've got the Supreme Court. We have nonpartisan elections. There aren't Democrats and Republicans, but there's a conservative and liberal group as we usually evaluate it. How did this particular vote break down?
Pretty much exactly the way everybody was predicting. I mean, I think there was some question over who would write the majority opinion. Given what you heard in oral arguments, it sounded like Justice Rebecca Bradley and Justice Dan Kelly had some serious concerns with this lawsuit. They basically said so from the bench. And it was Justice Rebecca Bradley who wrote the opinion. And her point that she drove home is that the legislature has broad authority to decide its own process. And if whether it wants to call a session extraordinary or not, it's their call to make and not the court's.
And at no point in this particular case is the argument about what the laws themselves did, whether they were appropriate, right? It's all about the procedure.
Not in this case, correct. So there is, though, a second case that is still before the state Supreme Court, that one brought by Service Employees International Union, among other unions, and it challenges the merits of the law. It's making a separation of powers argument, saying that the legislature took too much power constitutionally from the governor and from the attorney general, statewide elected constitutional offices. They're saying that they went too far there. So the court has not weighed in on that yet. This was just a process argument of how the legislature got there.
Talking to WPR's Sean Johnson about a ruling from the state Supreme Court on challenges to a lame duck session of the legislature back in December. Sean, in that case you just mentioned on the merits, theoretically, I mean, the executive did sign off on that. Governor Scott Walker, kind of on his way out the door, signed these changes that would affect his successor. Mm-hmm. Neither of us is a lawyer, but that might, I imagine, be used as an argument to justify its passage and its constitutionality.
I think when this case gets to the court, when they have a chance to hear arguments, which they haven't yet, and they have a chance to rule on it, the realities that existed for this case in terms of the breakdown of the court will be the same. I mean, you've got this majority 4-3. Actually, in August, we're going to have a 5-2 majority. So
after Shirley Abrahamson leaves, Brian Hagedorn is sworn in.
Yeah. So, I mean, those realities still exist. The arguments that we're going to be talking about in terms of separation of powers are different than whether the legislature can meet an extraordinary session, but an uphill battle for plaintiffs, for sure.
This is all in our state court system. At some point, I dimly remember, Sean, there were two challenges in the federal court system. Am I right?
Correct. And I think one thing that people should remember is that even with this state Supreme Court ruling that said that the December session was lawful, there is still a federal court ruling that is in effect that struck down a provision that was passed in the lame duck session. And that provision put limits on early voting in Wisconsin. So those limits have still been struck down by a federal judge. That federal judge's ruling is still in place. That case is still being appealed. It's still before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, and we don't know what's going to happen there. But that the state Supreme Court's ruling didn't change that. The federal court ruling in that stands right now. Mm-hmm. Then there's another federal case, and that challenges the whole session. It's making a constitutional argument, a U.S. constitutional argument, that that Republicans, when they passed these laws, they violated the Republican form of government. Mm-hmm. And by Republican,
not
I don't mean
party,
like Republican
but the,
Party, but
right.
I mean like the people get to choose their own elected officials, mm-hmm. the majority rules.
So the argument there would be kind of a bait and switch. People voted for the governor and attorney general in theory to have their currently existing set of powers. The plaintiffs would be saying, but then before they took office, you changed that. They would argue you pulled the rug out from under voters.
Right. Yeah. They're arguing that people had a certain expectation when they voted for Tony Evers and Josh Call, and that what they got is a governor and an attorney general that had less power than they expected.
Now, that often our state Supreme Court, we can kind of predict what they're probably going to do. Federal court system, it's a whole different ballgame. It could depend on which judges, which panel is appointed within an appeals court, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and this is before a district court right now, a district court judge. So you're looking at one judge. It's the same judge who put a hold on the early voting restrictions. So there's one tea leaf you maybe could read. But that judge decided not to have arguments in this case. So he's just going to issue a ruling based on the briefs. I'm not sure where he's going to go. And wherever he goes, then it goes to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And you could get a different mix of three judges that handle the case, depending on kind of like the luck of the draw in that situation.
Do we have any kind of timeline on when that one is supposed to be handed down?
I don't know. I'm just kind of watching. And I don't think there's an immediate deadline that we're watching right now. I mean, they've been briefing the judge in the case, but I'm not sure at this point when he's expected to issue an order.
Now, you followed the partisan gerrymandering issue all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and then it was handed back down, and that's kind of in limbo now, while other similar cases are out there. These issues, I don't know, it doesn't seem like they're the sort of thing that necessarily the U.S. Supreme Court is going to want to tackle, unless it was happening in a lot of states at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, well, it did happen in different states where you saw in this past election that Republicans in a couple states, Wisconsin, North Carolina, did restrict Democrats who were coming into power after the 2018 elections. But I don't know that the cases or the powers that were taken away are similar enough to where you could have them all go up to the court at once. In fact, I haven't heard anybody say that would happen.
Sean, thanks a lot for untangling this for us yet again.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio News. He joined us today to talk about the state Supreme Court's decision that will uphold laws curtailing the governor's powers during last year's lame duck legislative session. Plaintiffs had wanted to, in effect, erase that session on procedural grounds. The Supreme Court, in a 4-3 vote, said, nope, it stands. But there's one more state case out there, and as Sean was telling us, two federal court cases related to that lame duck session. We'll keep following those as we get more developments on them.